We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023, at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lidle. We'll begin with the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held April 19th, 2023. Approve all claims through May 3rd, 2023, in the amount of $1,077,284.68. Plus $48,000 for insurance approximately. Accept claim number 2305-0059 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $45,369.55 to be voted on separately below. Is that insurance money in that $1,077,000 already?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's included.
Just because you didn't see it.
Okay. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve receiving and place on file the 2022 annual report of the Beatrice Fire and Rescue, Pickerel Fire and Rescue, and Cortland Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Approve receiving sheriff's statement on collection of distress warrants for March 2023. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of April 2023.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Swavely to accept the consent agenda as presented, seconded by Dorn. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2305-0059 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $45,369.55. This would bring the total amount of claims approved through May 3rd, 2023 to $1,122,654.23. This is a company I'm involved with.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, seconded by Dorn. Any discussion?
Would it be cheaper to give you the lawn service back?
I don't think I want it. Please vote. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anything not on the agenda later on, if anyone would like to make comment on it. If not, we will move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
We'll let David, he had a couple days off, now he's recuperated, so we'll let him begin with, okay.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning.
Morning.
Today we have the annual boiler inspection over at the detention center. I did call for 3 bids for tree removal last fall, and the one guy that did respond cannot do it. So I'm going to ask for bids again on that. For the 3 trees, there's one over at, behind the veterans office and then 2 on the south side of the yard. The veterans office is completed. I just walked over there this morning, and they do have all the siding up. Looks really nice. There was a lot of junk on the north side, so we were able to pull a lot of that off, and we're just kind of cleaning up the building now. There's old things from when they were still apartments with the cable boxes and things like that. And we are going to run there's electrical that was on the part of the building. We're going to tuck that underneath the soffits and get that cleaned up and put their signs up and stuff like that today. So plans for improving district court clerk's office. I did talk to Phyllis and Judge Schreiner. They still have the cubicles. They would like to do desk, a partial wall, and a front counter in there. In the past, their cubicles kind of faced the wrong way, so they'd like to have everything facing towards the front. And masonry construction, I see they've been working, but I have not talked to them yet. So it looks like they just started making some headway on that. That'd be the repointing on the northeast corner. So, and that had been washed already, so it's mainly just the repointing at this time.
Any updates on the technology for this room as far as streaming or screens or anything?
Not at this time yet. I would like to talk to when Connective Services was down. I wasn't here, so kind of get going on that. So
I didn't know if he'd want to present anything, though. Oh, whoops. Sorry, Dave. I thought you'd just give a recap of what Don told us, but you played hooky, so you missed out on that.
I played hooky. I don't have a good excuse.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot there. Yeah. You can come on in, Amanda. We'll feel better when you're back here. It's like, just in case anything goes wrong, thank you.
And as far as plans for an improved east entrance, I have not heard back from them yet. So.
Yeah, there's nothing. I'm just waiting for those guys to give us some type of feedback. Okay, so.
Anything else for Mr. Jones?
Well, I think we're good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Equalization, Patty said, hopefully evaluations will go out the 1st of June, and we may have valuations on a postcard from MIPS in lieu of sending out full letters this year. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Beatrice Area Solid Waste Agency annual funding, $26,496. Beatrice Humane Society annual funding, $17,000. Gage County fund transfer from general fund to road fund, $400,000. U.S. Postal Service postage, $25,000. Sheriff, Washington County Sheriff's Department, inmate, boarding, and medical, $13,965.33. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $18,612.16. Thieves and Construction, $13,232. RL Team Construction, Township Gravel and Hauling, $45,369.55. Rock On Incorporated, Hauling Material, $21,583.91.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. So we don't have anything for insurance, really. Human Resources, Employee Relations, we haven't had anything really noteworthy at this time. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
We do have a little something we need to discuss as far as negotiations in closed session at the end of the meeting. Other than that, I don't have anything unless Gus does. We're good.
All right, thank you. Road and Bridge, Mr. Miss Haxby.
They haul things, cut things. No, just kidding. The Bus River Bridge will be open end of day Friday. I verified this morning. Don't cross your fingers. You told me end of day Friday.
Tonnage on that bridge?
It's up a little bit. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you.
All right. We wouldn't want you too specific.
It's still a rated bridge. they have started boring in the conduit east of Pickerel. They will be coming in with the plows next week. For people's awareness, we have asked them, we have a 33 from center of road right-of-way. We have asked them to stay to the outside of that right-of-way. So if there's some farming going on in the ditches, it might look like it appears to be in the field. So they will be trying to stay about 30 feet from right-of-way. Center of road, or in the right of way, center of road. We are on the fall of 2022 gravel allotments. We got the Adams Bypass grant in that was due on Monday. So that will have a resolution coming up to apply for the assistance. We also found out that the Odell and Christ Lutheran Mill Overlay was one of the selected grants chosen by Congressman Smith to move forward in the next step. There's still a few steps to go, so we don't know if we'll be there, but we were selected in the first step. And then the RAISE grant, we will know end of June. TAP grants end of July. We talked about the signage on 108th Road for the bad curve. That's about it.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? Nice work. Thank you. With that, we'll go on to Patrick Kreifels, Regional Administrator for the Region 5 Systems, to provide information on the County Match Annual Report and other information. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chairman. Thanks for having me. My name is Patrick Kreifels. I'm the Regional Administrator with Region 5 Systems Behavioral Health Authority, and there's six of us across the state of Nebraska. I have some handouts. May I approach and pass these out?
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to just thank Emily for sitting on our governing board and meeting with us. I know it's taking you away from your business here, but it's appreciated, and I appreciate you coming up and for all the meetings, Emily.
You usually hit at the meetings that we're not here, so we're good.
Okay. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is this document in your packet. It looks like this, and this is in reference to the county match. So the first column, the first gray column, says 22-23, and you can see there's mental health on the top and substance use on the bottom, and there's the population from 2020. But then this is what you're currently matching for Gage County. Then if you go over to the next grade column, it says FY23-24. That is our fiscal year, July 1st of 23 through June of 24. So this is what we're anticipating your match will be for the next fiscal year. There is a decrease in that. This year, the appropriations and the governor did fund a 15% provider rate increase. And that was, so in December of 2022, the Director of Division of Behavioral Health put into the budget the $10.3 million statewide, which would fund that provider rate increase. And then when the governor announced his budget, January 25th, Governor Pillen of 2023, he pulled that $10.3 million out. So that is the current allocations that we're working with for you. Now then, if you see the next two gray columns to the right of that, it says FY23, but then it has a 3% increase. Senator Myron Dorn did propose a bill to put a 5% rate increase for providers across the board. And so that is just a potential. The Appropriations Committee at the legislature has said, they just released their budget yesterday, they said that there's going to be a 3% increase in the biennium for the first year, so this next year, and then the second biennium year, there'll be a 2% for the 5% increase over the next 2 years. So that's a potential. I don't know. It has to go through debate now and to get to a final budget. State budget. So I just wanted to kind of say that that could be a potential. And then the last three is the reinstatement of the $2.4 million. So I said the $10.3 million statewide, but Region 5 systems are 16 counties. Our allocation of that 10.3 is $2.4 million. So if we got the $2.4 million back in the behavioral health aid budget, and the 3% rate increase for next year, that would be the potential allocation that Gage County would have. So just don't know on those last two. We're planning on the second column, but the next two are potentials. And then at the next sheet in there is the totals. So it looks like this. So that just would tell you for Gage County, you're currently allocating your match, and this is based on the statute, right, the Nebraska Revised Statute 71808. But Gage County's match is $67,698 right now, Next year, we're planning on it going down to $54,251. Then that potential 3% rate increase would take it to $55,878, still less than what you're matching this year. And then if the 2.4 and the 3% increase goes in, your total match would be about $69,729. A lot of numbers to absorb, and there's these potential as we work through the legislative session, or as the senators do. Any questions on that? As we move forward through the session, and on the 80th day of the legislature is when we anticipate there be a final budget, and that's when we should know more. Our fiscal director, Tammy DeShawn, will reach out to you and let you know for sure what you can plan on, what your match will be for the upcoming year. Any questions? All right, hearing none, I just wanted to go over a couple other things. The long legal sheet right here is the full...
Got it turned down.
The service array of... the continuum for adults and youth that we fund, and we contract with network providers, and that's on the left, the first column, and then you'll see Gage County, and these are the different encounters, not necessarily people, but the different encounters that people are registered that we fund from your county. So you can see the different types of services that are being utilized, and the total is about 551 for the fiscal year. This is fiscal year 21-22. And then the next sheet in there is specific to some of the crisis services. So I wanted to just take a minute here. So crisis response was activated approximately 63 times for Gage County. So what that is when your law enforcement officers are being called out to someone's home or somewhere in the community because someone's having a behavioral health crisis, they can, they have to make a decision, right? There's a two-pronged decision to determine if someone is mentally ill and then if they are dangerous to self or someone else in the community. If they are, they can take them into protective custody per the statute. And so what this mobile crisis response service is it's an on-call mental health clinician or practitioner here in this is an interesting poll right here. but it's a mental health practitioner that's on call ready to respond to the law enforcement officers if they want to have some assistance in determining that two-prong statute rule, mentally ill and dangerous to self or others. They'll either come out to the location or they can do telehealth, telecommunication type of thing, or a phone call. So those are kind of the different ways that that occurs. There is a new service that we started, especially focusing on the rural 15 counties. So we're 16 counties in southeast Nebraska, and Lancaster is the urban one. But it's a mental health navigator. So just an analogy. So the crisis response is, the analogy is if you're driving your car and it breaks down, or truck or whatever we're driving, and it breaks down on the side of the road, crisis response would be the call because it's kind of an urgent or emergency type of situation, right? You need someone to come out, assess your car to see if it needs to be towed or if they can tweak something and get it running again. So that would be crisis response, but not for the car, but for a mental health condition or substance use situation, right? Then the mental health navigator, the one that we just started, is a peer-certified specialist that can respond to law enforcement if they come upon someone in the community that they think is having some distress. So not urgent or crisis, but more of you make some observations that someone might be having some interference. And so the analogy is you're driving your vehicle, and you see that light indicator that says check engine, but you're still rolling down the road, or that tire pressure indicator comes on. It's a warning, right, that something's kind of gone wrong, and you need to have a tune-up or a checkup. And so that's what the mental health navigators are like. So if something's kind of, someone's having some behavioral health distress, but it's not urgent or crisis, but maybe they go to a home and they can tell someone's isolating or having some severe substance use issues or some depression, anxiety, something like that, but it's not, you know, they're not dangerous to self or the community, but they can tell, then they can make a referral to this navigator service, and they will come out to that person's home or wherever they're at within 24 hours. So they just make the call and do that referral. That's to try to be more preventative and try to engage folks to get them into substance use or mental health services. Does that make sense, kind of the difference between those two? All right, thank you. So then just you can see the professional partner program that is for Gage County was utilized 4 times. That is youth with serious emotional disturbances. And so they work, case managers work with the families to keep them in their home and in their community, but to build up supports, advocate for the family and the school systems, help the school systems kind of navigate how to meet the youth's needs. And then supported housing, that's an additional service. So we have rental assistance vouchers that we do offer for people if they're financially able. So that was used 13 times in your county. And then we have a contract with HUD, Housing Urban Development. And it's not the behavioral health state budget. It's a different contract that we have. And we have 11 folks that were utilizing HUD vouchers from your county. So then the last thing is in our annual report. You can look at that. Our chair of our board is Gail Pullman from Jefferson County. But then I wanted to just kind of take your attention to page 7 of the report. And Medicaid expansion happened in Nebraska October 1st of 2020. And so what that means for the behavioral health aid versus the Medicaid aid for Nebraska citizens is that they increase the poverty level rate, so more people are eligible for Medicaid, and that means less people are needing the R funds for our services, the behavioral health aid. We think of the behavioral health aid as more of a public safety net for folks in our communities. So if they're not on Medicaid or Medicare or commercial insurance, private insurance, and they're having these behavioral health, substance use, mental health conditions, then they can access our services. So because of that shift in the funding, we did redirect about $2.3 million in that fiscal year for additional and new services. And some of those additional or new services are listed here, and it was the supported our navigator service, we added that. We expanded the recovery support to the rural communities and then supported employment. So Virginia Selleck is an industry expert in relationship to work and supported employment. And what she says is people want to work. And so if someone has a mental health condition or a substance use condition and they're having some interference, but they say they want to work, these contractors, it's the Mental Health Association and Goodwill Industries is who we contract for that, they will meet them where they're at. So they'll help them make some applications and kind of figure out what they want to do for work. And then concurrently help them navigate and get support for their mental health or substance use conditions. But the work helps them feel more productive and engaged in society, and it's a positive thing that we see. There's a lot more in here I'm not going to take up your time to go over, but you can review this. And this was approved by our governing board just a couple months ago. Any questions for me?
Do you deal with the bridge program in Lincoln? And I may be
They're one of the providers in the network that contract with us. Yes.
How do you see that changing? Because I don't know exactly how the sheriff utilized bridge all the time, but if I understand right, that's not really a service we're able to take advantage of now.
Are you talking about maybe like the civil protective custody where folks, okay, yeah. The bridge made a change in relationship to who they focus on. So they will not take involuntary individuals for civil protective custody anymore. But if someone wants to go there voluntary, we do fund social detox. So that's where someone can... detox and have their issues of withdrawal, they'll also do an assessment on them and try to engage them to say, you know, let's make a change in your life and how can we help you go down this recovery road. But it's voluntary. That was, the bridge did make that kind of convergence from involuntary to voluntary, primarily because they felt like they were working against national accreditation standards and what the true intent was. So they also have an additional service, which is if individuals have, like, maybe are addicted to opioids or more severe, and they call it, there's two levels. One's social detox and one's medication management withdrawal program. And it's a little higher level where they'll have oversight from APRNs or doctors, psychiatrists, that kind of thing, to help people withdraw. So that's still there, but the difference is it's probably maybe what you're feeling is the involuntary, where you could take them there involuntarily versus now it's just strictly voluntary. The bridge is also, we did a request for proposal for a voluntary crisis response and a mental health respite program, and we dedicated about $1.2 million to that request for proposal. And the bridge is one of the ones that responded, and there was a committee that, you know, scored and made decisions, and they are the ones that is going to be recommended to the board coming up here at our board meeting on Monday to be awarded that RFP for crisis stabilization and mental health respite for folks. And that, again, though, is voluntary. So if the police take someone into emergency protective custody, that two-prong rule, which I'm looking at the county attorney, and she knows this better than I do, but that's the mentally ill and dangerous. We have that single point of entry, and in Lancaster County is the single point of entry that we contract with Scott Etherton and Dr. Roy and Dr. Legiardo. And they will, they can go there for involuntary crisis response or crisis stabilization. So we have the involuntary crisis stabilization still for EPCs, emergency protective custody, but we're opening this up to hope to relieve the pressure off of the crisis center, because we have folks that are then committed by a mental health board commitment for inpatient at the Lincoln Regional Center, and they're backed up. And so this was kind of a strategy to try to see if people will switch to more involuntary. We can drop the mental health board commitment instead of going to the regional center. So lots of things in the works. I don't know if that helped with the question.
Absolutely. Anything else from the board? Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it, and thanks for your service as a county commissioner. Have a good day.
Thank you.
See you Monday.
Thank you.
Hey, Eric.
Yes, ma'am.
I forgot to mention that the groundbreaking is happening next week.
Oh, yeah. You want to just go over that real quick? Or do you want me to?
You can do it. It's fine.
After our meeting on Wednesday the 17th, we will be having a groundbreaking at an announced. We don't know the location yet.
We won't know the location yet.
Until right before, but there will be a groundbreaking ceremony for the NextLink project, which is the Gage County fiber project that's going in. Following that, back at NextLink's office in Pickerel, there will be a reception as well, but is there a time on the reception?
Just as soon as we're done out there.
So late morning Wednesday the 17th. So that's kind of nice. That's that project. Of course, it used $4 million of ARPA funds, and it turned into a $12 million, maybe $13, maybe $15 million project. It just keeps growing. So that was a great leverage of funds. But that's, thank you for bringing that up, because that is a great one to bring up. As we're going back to things, too, I forgot Mr. Shuler wanted to know if we want to have Mr. John Hay come present to us on solar. I said Monday we'd ask the board if you guys want to have him come. He could come and talk to us on the 15th.
Committee meeting, right?
Committee meeting. If you guys give me nods or shakes or...
I'm all right with it.
Of course, I'm agreeable.
I'm not interested. I'll do my own research.
I am seeing more nods than shakes. if he could come in, we could do the same thing, move things around on the 15th. But
I mentioned 9 o'clock, but told him that was...
That'd be fine. 9 o'clock area would be fine. Just tell him keep it brief, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then if we have questions for him, it could go longer. But I forgot to bring that up. I have a note here, and I forgot. With that, we'll go on to Rachel Krackemeyer, the Engage Executive Director, to present her quarterly report. Rachel's been patiently waiting.
So I promise, I had no idea what Region 5 was going to give you, but I have a lot of pictures in mind. So it's just light reading for you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's pretty heavy. Good morning. We've been up to quite a lot over the last 3 months or so. Dating back to February, we had Governor Jim Pillen come down for our annual meeting and banquet for membership, and he was able to talk to our members about his plan for the state over the next few years and his bills in education and tax reform and those types of things. So the great thing is he did open it up for questions to the membership, and they really appreciated that. So that was fun to see our business owners and members in the community and stakeholders of Engage interact with the governor. In March, I put the board through a strategic planning session. So you'll see in here in my report, I went over and put in the information on our activities based on the strategies that were existing when I arrived at Engage. So those were adopted by Trevor Lee prior to his departure. The new strategies that were just approved by the board last week, so you're going to see that they do not vary a whole lot. They are listed on the front page. The previous goals are listed on the front page of the report. The new strategies, there's 5 of them, starting with We Are Communities for Kids. So this is geared at creating partnerships to address childcare availability and affordability, allowing our workforce to be utilized at its full capacity. So again, echoing some of the sentiments stated earlier, is we have a lot of people that are willing to work and want to work, but cannot because of lack of childcare options. The next one is youth engagement and talent attraction. So this is engaging our area youth by connecting them to career opportunities to increase their sense of place in the community. Expanding business and industry. So this is going to focus on maximizing opportunities for business and industry recruitment, retention, and expansion efforts to boost Gage County's economy. Building business relationships, so this is going to focus on cultivating relationships to increase engagement from key community stakeholders. And finally, housing is abundant, diverse, and affordable, so we're going to work on examining our current housing stock and identifying needs, things like that, and then we will discuss also if another housing study is needed to get the ball rolling for some additional development happening. But we have quite a bit of interest. Some of you are probably familiar with what's happening in the city of Beatrice right now with the Kensington and the grant that has been received contingent, some funding for SEND and things like that to develop that into potential workforce housing too. So there is some movement happening. Things just take time. So in respect to a lot of those strategies, we have been working with the school districts to create some career development opportunities and work-based learning opportunities. On Friday last week, Engage co-hosted a career fair of sorts for Beatrice High School students to attend to expose them to internship, job shadowing opportunities, full-time, part-time positions, seasonal positions over the summer. The hope and goal is that will then trickle over into future years where students will then be able to use those opportunities and connections with businesses that they've made to earn work-based learning credits towards graduation. The connection there and the hope with those connections that these students are making with businesses is that they will see
that they have a lot of opportunities right here in Beatrice and Gage County as a whole, and that we can connect them, give them a sense of place, so that if they do decide to go off to college and earn a degree or some sort of credential, that they come back and utilize those skills right here at home and also live and work and raise a family here. Okay. We have also been working diligently on finishing up the CRSA child care funding that we had. So that's $78,500. We're wrapping up that grant, and we were recently awarded another grant of about $200,000 to inject back directly towards our existing child care providers. So that one was effective April 1st, and we have the ability to hire a community coordinator, is what this position is going to be called, and they'll work on contract to help push those initiatives forward, so that we'll be able to aid in a lot of the work that I'm already doing, but take some of it off my plate so I can continue working in other strategy areas. We also hosted, there was an increased interest in participating in the Manufacturing Day event that we usually hold every fall in October, where students come in, schools come in, and they tour our manufacturing plants to learn about opportunities there. We had two additional schools reach out and had an additional 93 students go through five manufacturing businesses here in Gage County, and additional schools continue to reach out. So we're going to continue to kind of ramp up those efforts and get kids exposed to those types of careers here. Continuing to engage with local businesses, we are actively working on our BRE visits. So those are business retention and expansion visits, where we go out and sit down with our business owners. What's working well? What isn't working well? How can we help you? Type of thing. 80% of what I do on a daily basis as far as business recruitment and expansion is working with businesses we already have here. So not necessarily working to always bring in new businesses, but working with the ones we have here to expand and make sure that they are healthy and successful. And also working on several recruitment projects, of course. We have 9 active projects that we're working in. So we have, I have quite a load on my plate right now. So, but those are going very well. Hopefully we can bring something to you. Some of those we've been actively working on for over 2 years. So with that, I'll let you guys kind of read through and talk to Eric about any other questions, but I will take any questions that you guys have for me now.
Rachel, what was the position of the new hire or potential new hire?
Early childhood community coordinator. So we're just going to call him a community coordinator for short.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Rachel's also broke us up into some subcommittees now. Our board has been, you know how a lot of boards are, you go in there, there's a few people that are very active, and then there's several that aren't.
Just sit there and listen.
In a meeting we had the other day with our subcommittee, we've got a great rep from the city right now, Terry Doyle. He's excited. He's, you know, motivated. That's contagious, I think, too. Rachel's been the exact same way. She hit the ground running right away. So it's exciting to see what's going on. There are some great projects, but the big thing I just want you guys to always keep in mind, we always think of Engage as recruitment, which is totally true. But the mentality has been so many times, let's look outside and let's not look at what we have here. And that's a great recipe to fail. And that mentality is turned around. I think the city is getting on board with that, too, where we're going to start looking at what we've got. I mean, when we look around Gage County, the fastest way for us to grow is for our existing businesses to grow. A lot of times that'll pull other businesses in, too. So I think we're going the right direction. I'm always excited about Engage stuff. There's only so much that we can all talk about, but obviously, you guys know about some really exciting things that we're working on right now, and you'll keep getting what we can say, you know, and it's tough in the public meeting because you can't, you know, divulge everything, but I will say it's going the right way, and I'm excited, so Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks, guys.
Up next, discuss and approve. Gary, would you like to place that on file?
Move to place the Engage Executive Director's quarterly report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely to place the quarterly report on file. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Apparently I sat back to take a nap or something. You caught me off guard.
Well, I started moving on and Don asked if we were going to do that. Up next, discuss, approve, or disapprove resolution number 23-06 on special use permit number 2023-3 for expansion of an existing anhydrous ammonia site located in the southeast quarter of Section 31, Philly Township. We'll call it the Philly Agronomy Plant.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Dorn. To approve special use permit number 2023 through resolution 23-06. Any discussion on this? If only they could all be that nice. All right, with that, if there's no discussion, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Tony. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove resolution number 23-07 to apply for assistance from the Transportation Alternative Program for the purpose of the Adams Bypass Project. What this would be is a basically a technicality where if we can't attain right away, we're telling the grant holders that we will attain the right away through eminent domain or whatever means necessary. We believe we already have the right-of-way probably in place, but this is a formality. The Village of Adams will also have to go through this. Through writing the grant, Emily had to tell them when we would formally say that this would happen or when we would formally adopt this policy. But, of course, when I say the Adams Bypass, it's that road on the west side of Adams, which is partially owned by Gage, partially owned by Adams. Did I catch all that, Ms. Axby?
Yep. Yep, and then we're going to be splitting that. If it is awarded, we'll be splitting that cost between county and village based on the amount of road being built.
And this is a state grant, not a federal grant. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's a fairly decent shot at being awarded this with the truck traffic there. We got traffic counts on Monday from Mr. Conkey. One of them sounded extremely low. It was 68, I believe, or somewhere in that ballpark. The rest of them were in the 400 to 500 range or more.
800.
800 on one of them. Seemed really odd that there was 70 on one, but that traffic counter had a hole in the hose.
Broken hose.
A broken hose. So that counter was not working properly, which makes more sense.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby, to approve resolution 23-07. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Recess before the next.
Do you? We will take a brief recess for 5 minutes. It's 9:29. We'll
before the next one. It's gonna be a long one.
We'll recess at 9:29 and come back in a little bit after 9:35.
I mean, what's the fun in that?
We will reconvene at 9:35 on the clock. Up next is approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit number 2023-2 for the placement of a swine feeding operation. I had someone ask if they could talk from the public. I talked to council. Public hearing is over, so we won't have any public comment. But feel free to talk to us individually outside of the meeting. I guess I'll just turn this open to the board for a discussion. Mr. Jurgens.
No need for discussion from me. Motion to approve.
This will be 23-08.
Resolution 23-08. We have a motion by Jurgens. To approve Resolution 23-08. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Shuler. I'll open that up to discussion then.
Well,
Mr. Shuler?
I've done some research with the Natural Resources Conservation Service and state laws, and having been an employee there, I'm somewhat acquainted with what they do and the state laws, but I needed updated. And the state requires engineering and adequate land base for applying of the manure, and they require keeping records annually that in order to keep their permit. And the permitted facilities also are required to have an employee complete a land application training put on by UNL. With the state regulations as restrictive as they are, I feel that the operation will be required to run as by state regulation, and if they don't, they will lose a permit and be out of business. And if anybody has a complaint, they will be there to look at it. And I know that from personal experience in trying to help landowners achieve and be in compliance. And I've seen people go out of business, and it's sad when that happens, but I don't believe a business of this size and this investment of this magnitude that they're going to mismanage and risk going out of business.
Anything else from the board? Ms. Hatcher?
I asked the applicant a question.
Yes.
Yep.
Mr. Jacobson, will you give your name for the record?
Carl Jacobson. Address or anything?
I don't know. We're not in a public hearing, so it's just question and answer.
So I had a good conversation actually with Dean on this. Out of planning and zoning, we have the trees. We talked about there's a national pollution elimination discharge system. You guys said in the beginning that you have no intention on filing for that. So we talked about never filing for that for the life of this facility. I talked to Dean about a half a mile good neighbor for surface application only.
Yep.
So we talked about that. He was okay with that.
So if there would ever be an emergency that we would have to surface apply, we would do it at the farm where the hog facility would be located.
Yep.
Because it'd be an urgent thing that we would need to get done right away.
To move.
So we wouldn't have time to haul it. So, I mean, and where that farm sits, it would meet that setback. But we can ultimately, if that would happen, talk with the neighbors around.
It would, yes, and half a mile, good neighbor. He's got other farms to apply on, so I'm sure that there's locations. I also asked about a way to take care of the dead, incinerator or render. You got back to me there
will be
an
first
incinerator.
Method.
Okay. With the incinerator, do you have a air permit for that?
So we have it all ready to be filed, but we cannot apply for that until our state permit is approved. But we have everything in place to file for that once our state permit is approved.
Okay.
Just one moment, Ms. Haxby. You said an incinerator would be first choice?
Yep, with basically rendering being a backup and emergency.
So that answered most of my questions. We talked also about having the, on the plans that were was given to me, the bins were attached to the, long end wall of the building.
Okay.
But you told me on the phone that they are on the sides now, correct?
Yeah, so with how the layout's going to be is they will be put, you know, where the barn sits there at an angle.
Right.
How this will sit like this. They'll be set right here. So
on the short end walls?
Yes.
Yes. So that we will not be within 100 feet of that creek with any structure?
Correct.
Okay. And then I did stay up till 11 o'clock last night trying to get things finished. I did not get to the EQIP standards. Did you get to that?
So I did, and so ultimately what my research is EQIP is through NRCS, and it's basically grant money that basically producers can utilize to, which one of these, conservation, or ultimately utilized to build manure structures or water structures or anything that has to deal with conservation, protecting the environment. So basically with my research done, I couldn't find any standards, but basically my, you know, what I will come back to you as is the state requires us to have a licensed engineer build or basically make the plans for that, and we have to build that up to the state engineering spec. We've had a licensed engineer stamp that and say it's met the state of Nebraska's requirements and DEE. Ultimately, when we pour that concrete, before we can move forward any farther on that structure, the state's engineer will come out and inspect that structure before we can even move forward. So ultimately, I feel today, with how the regulations are, we are meeting the state of Nebraska's requirements on our concrete structure to basically bind or hold our manure. So,
I like I said, I finished this stuff at about 11 o'clock last night, and I was falling asleep doing it, so I'll probably be doing a little more reading. But, I mean, those are things, I talked to Dean, they were all agreeable. I think those are good things moving forward. So with those, that's all the questions I have. Answered what I needed. I was going to pass this out. You guys want to take one of those? I was incorrect on the 200 feet. That does pertain to feedlots only. So I just typed up specifically what pertains to this CAFO. I highlighted here on number two, it says a management plan for the facility. And it says acceptable to the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality. Well, that's NDEE now, not the environmental quality. So an acceptable, having it be acceptable to the NDEE, I would say it needs to be accepted by the NDEE. And then number 3A, part of that says, shall be subject to the license requirements and waste disposal requirements and recommendations of the state of Nebraska. So that would follow with the air quality permit being required. I'm just saying we need to finish crossing our T's, dotting our I's, finish this application before I would be ready to vote. That was what I'm saying.
Is the perched water table test come back? Has the boring's been?
That's the boring company. It's very minimal who can do that. And they are going to be on site March or May 8th.
So it hasn't been bored yet.
It has not.
That is one thing.
I think that we need to, you know, like Emily said about the T's crossed and the I's dotted, but if we don't have those samples and know what those samples are, that I'm not ready to vote on it. I'm just telling that right now.
And to what the state would ask.
Yes.
Any other monitoring wells or anything like that. So the final approval from the state won't occur till after they know that information, correct?
Yeah, and I mean, guys, I mean, I guess where we're at is all this is state requirement stuff. We feel like sitting here today in this boardroom, we've met all your requirements, right? And ultimately, the timeline of us being here for 5 months, and I don't want to stand here more than you guys want to see me. We're asking, it's contingent on the state. We will not be able to operate this or build this facility unless the state approves this. I guess that's what I'm asking. And ultimately, it's just a time process because basically that's going to be done, and then it's going to be put out for public notice for another 30 days. So.
And that is, of course, something we've talked about is making these contingent upon meeting state requirements.
Well.
So that would need added to the motion.
We won't be holding anything up by waiting for those things. We can approve it as soon as the state's done. We won't be holding anything up, so we can wait for that. I don't see any reason not to hold off on that. I agree with Emily and Dave on that.
All since
Mr. Shuler.
Otto will be applying the manure, but he's not an employee.
No. So our employee was already in the UNL manure management workshop here in Beatrice. I think that was in back in March.
Okay. And that covers the requirement of the state?
Yeah, so he's licensed now for the next 5 years in the state of Nebraska, but ultimately Dean will go to that next year too. It just didn't work out for him.
Okay. So even though he's not an employee, but you do have an employee,
I have an employee requirement. That's already been there, and then Dean will go next year because Dean will not apply until fall of 24.
Okay.
And
because the person that's applying the manure needs to be the one that's trained.
It literally just didn't work out, but we knew we had some time flex here, and so we know with basically it coming online in 23, fall of 23, we will not apply until 24, so next spring Dean will be able to go to that, which we've talked about.
Yep. It just didn't work for me that day. We actually was signed up to go. It just didn't work.
Okay.
Mr. Jacobson, when would the soil testings or the borings be done? Or when do you anticipate them being done? And then to go along with something Emily asked, Ms. Axby asked, when would that air quality permit?
So it's all queued up, ready to submit, but we cannot apply for it until we have a state-approved permit.
A state-approved building permit?
Yes, operating building permit. Your first question, the boring will happen, we're on the schedule May 8th, but it'll also take, you know, by the time they go back, they're anticipating 2 to 3 weeks before we get the results. So we won't have results back till the last week, basically the week of the 22nd at the earliest.
So we would have a meeting the 31st then would be the next actual meeting after we have a committee meeting.
At that point, the state will not yet approved it.
How long do you anticipate for state approval?
Well, we're waiting for this, you know, because they're in their research and, you know, doing this. This is part of their research, and basically their all their boxes are checking to approve it. And then basically once they've done their research process or their research timeline, then it'll go to public notice on the NDE. We'll put it out for public notice, newspaper, website for 30 days. So we're
June, July?
Middle of June, probably at the earliest.
When is your proposed construction start date?
I'm
2 months
ago. Yeah. And that's my ask, I guess, guys. So basically, if it's all, it's just you're waiting on the state, I mean, that's probably June. So we're going to kick this can down the road for another month. More. 6 weeks.
I'm sorry, Ms. Axby.
Nothing will happen without the state permit, regardless.
Exactly.
And I had a very good conversation with Dean. We have come to some agreements on some very reasonable things to be done. And you say, I have the page. The only thing in our regulations that are for hog confinements is right here. You say you meet the regs. I'm saying, you like, the way I read this, it does not. We don't have all the information. I am not ready to vote.
I guess a question for you, Mr. Jacobson. My fear was this is waiting on us for you to start construction. So there is, this is waiting. You can't start anything until the state gives the check mark.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's more or less NDEE, but along with that, that's where your engineered plans come in. We're going to have this design spec'd out. None of us are going to. Our opinions, I mean, whether we think they do or not, none of our opinions matter on construction after that plan's stamped. It's somebody putting their name and license on the line. But I guess that's the question is, how does this affect
you?
It
can be turned both ways, though. I mean, basically, you guys are telling me, though, you're basically waiting on the state. So if you know, why not vote and move this along? So we're, you know, like I told Emily yesterday, we submitted this permit the 17th of January. Or May 2nd, 3rd.
Just wondering, did the state get information in January also?
No, we did delay it because, well, we didn't submit it right away just because we didn't know. I mean, this was literally our first process going through this. But ultimately, when it was tabled a couple times.
Just out of curiosity.
We submitted it because it's basically when you submit to the state, we're 110 days away from construction. So we just knew with it being tabled a couple times and being pushed back in P&Z that we basically submitted it to get our time ticker because that's every day we're getting closer to cold weather concrete. You know how it gets in the fall.
Any additional discussion from the board? We have a motion and a second on the floor.
This is to approve the...
The motion on the floor is to approve... Motion by Juergens, second by Shuler, to approve special use permit number 2023-2, resolution 2308, which would be approving the placement of a swine feeding operation.
Well, okay, then I'll vote no because I want all the information before I vote.
What?
And that is... Oh, Mr. Juergens, I'm sorry.
And kind of seeing the consensus of the board, I've got two options probably just to amend my motion to, on conditions that the state approves everything, or wait for 2 weeks.
And I would caution you, just keep in mind, if this would go through the way it is now, if there would be a no vote, that is a denial by the board of this permit. So voting no does not just say we're going to wait. A no vote would be a denial. So I just want you all to keep that in mind as well.
And it'd be more than 2 weeks, possibly.
I'm not going to have a state answer for you in 2 weeks, so we're going to be in the same position.
Realistically, and you correct me if I'm wrong, sir, realistically, we're probably looking at June?
Yeah, at this point, no.
If it would be approved in June, would that hold you up?
I mean, it's just how it's going to fall. So say we get a letter on June 1st that the borings came back and it's done. I mean, it's just going to be getting in front of you guys.
Well, the...
So it could extend it another 2 weeks longer after, depending on when you get your notification.
Yep.
Unless we'd have a special meeting.
And I'd rather stay out of that situation. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, when would this...
I don't have a definitive timeline of when it'll go to public notice. We'll know when it goes to public notice, and we'll have 30 days, and then within that 30 days, or at the end of that 30 days, we will have our operating permit.
If it's any consolation to you as a government entity, we have to work with other government entities also. So,
well, yeah, obviously if you guys haven't permitted it, yes.
We do understand the
I just get a, you know, I just... In my opinion, don't mean anything, really, but you guys are waiting on the state, so let's make the contingent on it being the state. The state's either going to say yes or no. I just feel like it gets it off your guys' table.
Mr. Shuler, I thought you had...
No, I'm just sitting here. I can see that in the board there's some concern about doing that, and it's like Mr. Thiemann said... the results of the vote may not be in your favor. If that's, we have a better chance, you do. If we have all the information and all the approval from the state, and I don't mean information, but.
So I guess my ask of is the state comes back and says yes, are we going to get a yes?
If everything's crossed the way it's supposed to be, then but I don't have that information, and
I don't either.
You know, I'm not happy to vote on something like that.
But if the state comes back in a perfect world, because if the state comes back and says no, it's over, it's done. I mean, it's on.
I told Mr. Otto, I said I've watched a lot of votes and thought for sure I knew which way something would go, and we sat down in the chairs and it completely went the other way. So none of us can tell you it's a go for sure.
I get that.
What I would say is if regulations in place are met.
And I'm not asking for an answer today. I guess I'm just asking you guys to ask yourself, if I get a state permit back and it's approved through the DEQ.
That's my question. If the state says yes, are you going to have your own opinions and then fail it?
Listen, you know, the opinions we have are based on the information we receive. And if we receive the information that is needed, okay, to meet the requirements, then we don't have any choice. We can't put our own personal thing into it. If the stuff is in front of us that says it's a go, then we have to go that way.
So if the state,
it's not my personal opinion. It's whatever what the rules say, okay, and that's what we have to follow.
So if the state says yes, it goes through. I can get you all the information.
You'd get my vote if you have all the right information, okay?
So then we could say it's continued.
We're not going to.
If there is an issue with the perch water table,
we won't build there.
Well, and they will. What the state may do is ask you to put in monitoring wells.
And they already, yeah, we've already discussed it.
And then do you go back and have take time to add that into the design?
So we asked if the boring company could do it while they were already on site, but it's different equipment, and basically we don't want to do it until the facility, you know, with a concrete structure of that magnitude, we don't want to do that until the concrete structure is in place.
But I'm speculating, Mr. Schuler, that if they require monitoring wells, they'll say this is what we're going to require, and at that time they would know. So that
we could proceed.
It'll be like the NRD, really,
so.
Where the NRD with our well permit said we need to have a flow meter. It's going to be the same thing. They're going to say, okay, it checks out, but it's contingent.
Well, what I was getting at is that just going to prolong a little longer if you have to go through, change designs, add monitoring wells, and
yeah,
which but I guess we don't have to decide as long as that's
what I know, they can do that as construction's being done before. It's basically an operation.
Prior to an operation permit, because the building will be completely constructed. It'll be inspected a final time prior to an actual operating permit being issued. So
correct.
That would, I would assume that would be checked prior to filling the building the first time.
My more is a question for you. I don't know how you would expect us to vote today, because, like I said, Dean and I had a good conversation. We talked about things that were needed, my feelings that were needed, and he was okay with them. But when I read the regs, I don't have all the information, and the regs say that we need that information. I would like to see them. I'm not saying no. I'm saying I want to see this before I vote. So I don't know how you would want me to vote today.
Well, respectfully, Ms. Haxby, I work for you in this capacity, and there's a motion and a second.
I would like to not vote today.
Mr. Juergens, I would say just before you speak, for along with that, though, to not have a vote, and I'm not encouraging you to do this, but you'd withdraw your motion and we'd withdraw the second. And I just do want to reiterate, a no vote is not a wait vote. A no vote would be a failure vote.
Right.
So just throwing that out there, and sorry to hold you up, Mr. Juergens.
No, that's all right. I think it would be best advised if I withdraw my motion. With that being said, I want everybody to remember it's a livestock-friendly county, livestock-friendly since 2011. This permit has been hung out there for way too long. I mean, other companies are going to look at what we're doing here and say, do we want to come into Gage County and put up with this? If you don't like the rules, change the rules. The rules we have in place right now, they fit. And like I said, I'll withdraw my motion.
And I agree. I should have thought, I was aware of the borings and that issue and got a little quick with my second, and it occurred to me that was something we probably wanted to wait on.
I probably should have added to that motion upon approval of all coming state permits you know, then we would accept if everything turned out right. I should have phrased it that way, but I didn't, so.
Do you have anything to add, Council? I didn't know if you were...
No, it's something we can address.
Okay. I just didn't want a vote, just...
I understand. I get it.
Just so you know, I guess I'm saying if there is a vote, I just want you to know what you're voting. It's not, there's not a pause button on that specific motion. If there's another motion, it's different. Just on that specific vote motion, it would be a failure then if it failed, or it'd be a approval if it passed. Is there any other discussion on, so we have the motion is off the table then, motion and second are off the table. Is there any other discussion on this particular action item? Is there another motion on this?
Just discussion. Are any other items going to come up from the board that they want answered? Let's get this thing done and over with. Answered either way, are there any other questions on the board of these people that they want?
This may have been addressed already. It was brought up before, and this goes back to Summit, the Summit 4-5 on the permits. Does everything match between state permit and county permit now?
I think we talked with Roger, and we're keeping it the same just to not restart it, but basically where the state permit and Dean is on it, we can change that state permit at any time, the name on it. So we need to talk with Roger. I'm going to advise that because Roger has okayed everything through us.
And are you familiar with this?
Roger did receive some confirmation that the state application is essentially the same as what the application before us, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, just to make sure that that's not a question, those are the same, even
he
though they were different entities.
Confirming that, yes.
Okay.
And we'll all be receiving an email on each detail you want, so we know the next time we come.
You say you would like to?
Yes.
I would like to bring up anything that any of us have today, like Mr. Jurgens said. It'd be really good to, Ms. Hill, would you keep a quick note on that? Just anything we do bring up, we could send it out?
That or everybody can get me their
questions, list of questions.
And then I can forward it to Dean or...
Because Mr. Jacobson's called me and I hadn't called him back. Any questions we do have?
Mr. Does the present zoning, the planning and zoning, did they request or require a
request additional
windbreak or what? I mean, I know they do, but what is it, 4-row, 3-row? What's the specs on
that? We interpreted it wrong, and I mean, when the zoning said it was 4 rows of trees, right?
Yes.
And they didn't say on all 4 sides. And we've put together a row or a plan of trees on the north and west corners. And then Lisa this week sent me a picture of 15 CAFOs in Gage County. And there's not a one of them that has 4 rows all the way around. The only reason we're not putting 4 rows around is because we need enough room on the southeast side of that barn to get a tractor and a honey wagon through. And Dean has a pivot that's coming through there.
Well, I just was concerned that to what was being asked of you by P&Z.
So we are fully engaged in putting trees on the north and west side.
And how many rows? How many would you do?
Two.
On your own?
That's what we traditionally do, is 2 rows.
Two. And you've been asked for 4.
Yeah. And if it's 4, I guess that's just my ask on the southeast side. What is the benefit on the southeast side? Because the north and the west corners are going to protect the northwest wind, prevailing winds in the winter. And basically, the southeast side, we just are in such a tight crunch.
Trees are...
But you're not planning on putting... Southeast side means the... it's triangle-shaped piece of ground, right?
So
if you had on the southeast side, it'd be completely surrounded by trees.
Yes.
And then our barn will lack the air that it
needs
to breathe.
That's the side. The curtain.
The curtain is on the southeast side, so it's going to blow to the northwest.
Yeah. So presently, your plan is, and it's agreed by planning and zoning, for on the north side and the west side, with four rows of trees, nothing on the southeast side.
So they made that recommendation to you guys, I believe. And when we came to you guys initially, we put the tree design on the north and west corners.
Well, I just didn't want to have that slip through the cracks and cause something that's...
Yep. So I guess that's up to you guys now on the regs, you know.
So there's, you're proposing two rows on two sides.
It was, and if I need to resend it to you guys, I can. But it should be in the packet.
I'm sure we have it.
But there's two rows of trees in the northwest side.
And Lisa's not in the room here. So
four rows takes up more ground, more land, more...
Well, our concern on the four rows is ultimately if there'd be a snow drift come in on the northwest, it's all going to drift on 82nd. And ultimately, too, we're going to have truck traffic in and out. We don't want that to impair vision going in and out of truck drivers.
Trees have to be a setback of 75 foot off center anyway, so that's, they already have that in place.
So the rows would start at that 75 and then be inwards from there?
Is that where the trunk gets planted?
I think it's the width of the tree. Yeah, because it's a structure. Yeah.
Is that right, or is it the center line of the tree?
I don't know. I was told that's what I was told.
I don't know the answer to that at all, but
it makes about 10 feet difference.
Yeah. The trees on a lot of places, it seems to be there on the edge of the driving surface. So it'd be nice if they are back. I don't know if it's edge of tree or center though.
We don't mind moving them back. We just don't have enough room to go with four of them.
Yeah.
Trees, contract names matching, anything else the board has?
Like I said, I talked to Dean. There's no national pollution elimination discharge system, half-mile good neighbor for surface. And then they answered my question with the incinerator, which is followed with a air quality.
So there's no issue with any of those three items that Ms. Haxby has? Just while we're talking about this right now, the trees, there is talk between the two rows, four rows. Before they come back and have to ask something, is that something that seems acceptable to the board, Mr. Juergens?
Well, they're placing those trees. A normal windbreak will be two rows. A normal windbreak will be on the north and the west boundaries. That is a normal windbreak.
And just keep in mind,
it's not four rows, it's two rows.
And whatever, just try to keep in mind, whatever we request of this permit, this should not be different. It should be the same. However, we're asking for anything.
It's my feeling that two rows is enough, and it also gives you room in the future. If you need to replace those, you've got room to put two more rows and then remove these two rows. You plant four rows, then you have no room. You have to take, if they get destroyed by tornado or something, or just they get old, it gives you place to replace the windbreak. That's just long-term planning. And I've done a lot of windbreak planning, and two rows is sufficient for a windbreak. It's a minimum. And for screening, for view, it's sufficient. Of course, it depends on the spacing in the row and all that, but the NRD and NRCS, you do the windbreak planning. I assume that's probably where you would go.
So we have a staff member, Scott Jacobson, who is in that manure management. He does all of our manure management and then conservation, grass, trees, and everything, and he's already been in contact. I was actually with him yesterday. He's in contact with some local tree people and grass mm-hmm. to basically figure out what the best... You know, they're used to planting trees in north central Iowa, so we want to make sure we're planting the right trees for.
There's NEB guides for that. There's.
Yeah. I think there was some, maybe on that, there was a couple list of some stuff we traditionally plant, maybe.
Eastern red cedar, silver maple, dogwood. It does appear that you have the north, the west, and a part of the south on this drawing.
Yeah, there was like maybe a little corner of just an.
Because it is in a triangle shape, then, is it? It's got a flat.
No, it's got
four sides.
Five sides.
Yeah, five sides. Yeah.
Mr. Lytle.
So I did discuss with Lisa a little bit after the meeting last two weeks ago about the tree lines, because I was trying to get a feel for what the intent was from P&Z as far as the four rows. And I guess if I understood Lisa correctly, it wasn't four rows on all four sides. It was four rows. I don't know that I got a full answer completely on this, whether it was four rows total, but I did not get the feeling from Lisa that the intent was is for four rows on all four sides.
And that was going to be my question for Lisa. What was the discussion that got to four rows? Because that sounds like four on all four sides to me, or all the way around.
Yeah, I kept reading it trying to decide if that was what their intent really was or not, and she kind of indicated to me that it was not their intent. But I guess that might answer some of these questions.
That would cut off the airflow if they put it all
yeah.
there.
I think it was very vague, to be honest with you. So it was a recommendation to you guys. So ultimately, I want to put a proposal in front of you guys, and then you guys sign off it and come back to me, and then we find common ground. I was kind of the same as Gary. It was very vague on how P&Z left it.
And that's something we need to be extremely specific on whenever we say this is what we want, so that we don't come back later and say, no, this is what we really meant. We want to be as specific as possible.
Agreed.
Any other items while we have the applicant here that you want to ask specifically? Questions, wants?
You have the borings on your list, right? I mean, you're writing lists down.
I'm keeping the list, but those will come anyway. Borings, state permits, all that stuff will come.
So once the borings come back, that'll get submitted to the reports will get submitted to the state for their review. We'll send it over to you guys, obviously. But ultimately, I mean, it's not going to be like, well, we'll know, obviously, but then that'll just further their process. But once we go to public notice, we'll have that 30-day period that we'll know that as long as nothing major happens there.
And the state, we have no say over what their regulations are. We will see a green check mark or a red X. So it'll be cut and dry from the state. It's just yes or no, and then that comes back to us. They don't have the back and forth that we do necessarily.
If you apply the waste close by, would you be dragging hoses? Or is it all going to be trucked to it? Even if it's a mile down the road, it will still be hauled by a truck?
It'll all be done by truck and trailer. Because you can get marked back. But when you raise a hose up, it's still leaking. Every time you turn around, slow down, the pressure's the same. When the wagon, I have a flow meter and everything on it, so maybe it'll be a lot better.
So there wouldn't be any chance of having a hose in a road ditch or across somebody's driveway? Because that isn't the plant. That's not...
Not the plant at all.
That's not the plant at all.
And the equipment used is enclosed.
But unless we would put something specific in there, that's means and methods I would say are not something that we get involved with anyway.
Well, it was something that's been brought up.
I'll just follow up on that. The one comment I was going to have on a legal focus is there's been a lot of focus today about, I think, what was missing from the application, what the board wants before going forward. When the board does go forward and makes a decision to approve or deny this application, make sure we're focusing on that section 6.2, those seven factors. There has to be some discussion on those seven factors before a decision is made.
And you each have a copy of that with you?
Is that what Emily passed around?
No.
It's what you had before. You had got one from me.
Oh, it's in our packet.
We got a couple of weeks ago.
It says on the top of that, it says keep. Do not get rid of.
I'm more or less just waiting on those two state permits required in our regs.
Are there any other questions from the board, just since we have Mr. Otto and Jacobson here? Are there any other requirements that the board may ask that you know of today? If not, I would say on this, keep us in the loop as things are coming in. We will try to be timely as far as once you know something, getting you on a next agenda.
So I guess how in advance do I have to let the clerk know to be on the...
If we have a meeting on Wednesday, if you could let us know by Monday night, that
Monday.
Same...
Monday.
I'm sorry.
Tuesday morning is the deadline for the Monday agenda,
by
so...
5, she goes home sometimes.
I can, you
8:59 on Tuesday morning.
not
8:59, 7:59.
Oh, okay.
But Monday prior to the meeting, I mean, we don't have weeks in advance.
Say we get it back Friday night, I can call Monday.
8:30 is a drop-dead deadline on Tuesday morning.
Just
so
don't figure Tuesday, figure on Monday.
So Monday morning I get you, hey, we've got the... approval, it's in basically, because what will happen is we'll get the green light essentially and it'll go to public notice.
Unless you can't get a hold of me and then it'll
which
be
it won't
moments.
Be an approval, it'll be it's in public notice, it's met all the state's requirements, it's going to public notice.
What is the process after public notice?
And then if there's no nothing else that changes, then they'll grant the permit.
Okay.
At that point. Right there. That's when I want to hear about it.
Because that'll be an actual approval.
Because that'll be
then.
The approval. That'll be the approval.
Which is
part.
Another 30 days.
Yeah, so it'll be another 30 days. And then basically by the time I can get on your guys', it could extend it another 2-3 weeks.
It could possibly be an additional 3 weeks probably, depending on where that falls. It would be unlikely, but it's possible. I'm just not trying to sugarcoat it, just being very flat. That is possible.
Yeah, and that's... I guess from the board I'm getting, and I get your regulations, but you're basically contingent on a state permit.
It's done pretty good, don't they ring one?
You know, that's on silent. It's rang a bunch of times, and it hasn't rang. It must have got tired.
It's best to turn it off.
Tell me about
how
it.
How many missed calls, like 20?
I don't know. Have you been calling?
No.
Oh, I do have quite a few red ones on there, but it hasn't rung. But yes, it could be stretched out longer.
So then at that point, basically this would be holding it up then, essentially.
Correct. This would the discussion here would be this would be the final approval. The state approvals would go through and then the board approval.
And is that common? With all the others?
That I don't know. I think usually we've had the state permits before, or the state approvals before we've had our permit. I wish Lisa was here. She could give a better answer on that, but I would say yes. For whatever reason, it seems like the other stuff is done first and then it comes to us. That's my memory, but she would know. She would have that answer better.
My only worry for this, Eric, is that just opens this up. As much emotion that's been in this whole process for the last 5 months, it's going to extend this for another 6 weeks, 2 months.
That's exactly right. And that was part of the discussion I'm sure Mr. Juergens had too, just if there's a direction, move forward and pull off the Band-Aid. I also understand where Ms. Axby's coming from. If it's written that this shall be done, we see gray area in the law. Council doesn't always see the shalls don't mean maybes. So if there is a shall there, I totally understand that as well.
And I totally understand where you guys are at, but I think it makes it gets us out of your in front of you, because basically everyone's saying that we're contingent on the state permit. So it moves this
contingent
forward.
Contingent on the state permit and meeting the regulations of Gage County.
Yeah, and Gage County, which... Yes.
Which it sounds like there's no, from what I heard from Ms. Haxby and Mr. Shuler, it sounds like there's no issue with any of their requirements as far as the trees or air permits. The air permit is the one that makes me wonder.
We literally can't submit that permit until we have the state permit.
Which... they also wouldn't give you an operation permit until that permit's in place. So That's a little cleaner
but
one, possibly.
Be, once we start construction to when there'll be pigs on place, it'll be 90 to 100 days, and we'll be able to get that air permit incinerator set and taken care of.
And there shouldn't be any problem in getting that.
I'd say if this is the process, fine. I just don't want to be picked out as being done.
And that would be our hope too, is just to treat this the same as any other facility that comes up. Streamline is always best, Mr. Lytle.
I'm like you, I think Terry can confirm that also. I don't ever recall a project coming to us that didn't have the approvals ahead of time. So
I just don't want to say that.
Yeah,
for 100% for sure, because I don't remember.
I could be off, just like you. I could be off on it. Maybe there was, but I don't recall there was.
Oh, you have. Council just said she has seen this both ways, where okay. It's been done ahead and after. Anything else from the board? Anything else from my applicant?
That P&L messed around, didn't know what they were doing, was running around like 13-year-old girls screaming and hollering. But it's kind of like building a house. The framer guy, he shows up 2 weeks late, it doesn't matter, right? Pretty soon the painter guy, he's a week late and everybody's chewing his butt. The carpet guy can't get there for 2 weeks, you know. And that's where we're at. We're on the back end of the building the house, and that's why things are probably being pushed more than they should have been, you know, or than what they are. We're just running out of daylight.
If something does change along the way, though, borings, timelines, like I say, keep us in the loop. I will ask one more time, I guess, prior to us stopping, is there a motion on this action item? A different motion on this action item? Seeing lack of a motion, at this point in time, let us know as the state permits come through. We'll try to be as timely as possible on our side with your state permits. Do you want an email on these items we talked about today, just the tree line, the three items Ms. Axby talked about, borings, air permit?
Yeah, that way we can check them off.
Which I think everything's taken care of. I think we're all agreeing. It's just basically you guys are waiting for we're waiting on the borings just as much as you guys are.
It's just the clock
ticking. Basically, that'll close their research seek and destroy period. And then basically at that point, they'll issue a public notice.
But as Mr. Swavely and Mr. Lytle both said, it's all just based on what the regulation is. And making sure it meets, if it meets the state regs, meets the county regs, that's what we look at. There might be some tweaks, you know, tree lines, things like that, and that's every project. There's little tweaks on things, but that is what the board should be looking at. I'll thank you, too.
If you guys have any questions, call my number. Reach out. Make sure we have everything for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Next time you see you, we can get it done one way or the other.
Unless we have something else.
We're here now.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Gosh.
We will move on to our next item, discussion on the proposed solar conversion system made to Gage County Planning and Zoning Regulations. The agricultural solar farms regulations. Any discussion from the board on these? These, the last items you probably have are your packets here. A lot of the discussion has been on setbacks. Does anyone want to start off any discussion on any of the regulations or setbacks or anything that goes in? You're on a roll, Ms. Haxby. Go ahead.
I'll be really honest. I have not had a lot of time for this because I had 1 week that was broadband grants. I had the next week that was tap grants. I spent my, after my kids gone to bed on this stuff, So I haven't had that much time to read it and try to work on it. The only thing that I know that I would really like to see in there for sure is a viewshed study for the homestead. Not so much as much of a setback on miles, more on a viewshed. If they can't see it, then leave it more at that.
Which is also the request of the homestead as well.
Yeah. I know that's one thing that I don't know how to phrase it yet. I haven't even put it into like a red line format because every other thing that's been going on this last couple weeks, month. So I will work on it. It's on my list.
One thing I'll throw out there for thought too, and I'd like to talk to Lisa on it yet. Class 3, I can see the small class 1, class 2, 100 kW to 1 megawatt. Class 3 is 1 to 2 megawatt, and then class 4 is 2 and over. Class 3 seems really tight, really a small classification, almost for something, you know, just like an individual farm. I don't know if we want to make class 3 bigger, a broader classification to where it's a regular size. I mean, I don't know what regular size is. A larger size, and then class 4 becomes the mega farm, Ms. Saxby?
I'd rather see like a special waiver or something along those lines for something that stays completely off-grid, something that is built with a industry or something like that.
Separately than from class
3? No, just a waiver within that setback. I don't know how to phrase that either, but that's just something that I was kind of tossing around in my head, some sort of waiver that if it's off-grid, it's built with a facility, then that setback can be less. Or minimal.
I like
my question
that
is what does it matter if it's off grid or not?
Because it's built with a facility.
But so it's visual, right? I mean, it's the setbacks.
They would still have the berming.
If it's not necessary, if it's off the grid, why is it necessary if it's on the grid?
If what's necessary? The setbacks. I see what you're saying.
I mean, it's still... What are the setbacks designed to do? A long distance. I mean, is it health and safety? What's the visual? Plus, they'll have a tree line around it. Solar farm's a solar farm, whether it's connected to an industry or if it's online. I mean, if it's online, what's connected is buried, as I understand it.
Maybe overhead, maybe buried.
Structures, I guess, above, but I guess I don't see the difference. Will somebody explain it to me?
One of the things that wasn't in these regs that we're in when was the requirements for transmission lines. For some reason, like, the entire paragraph got taken out. They did the first line, but the rest of it wasn't in there. So that would be something I when I was comparing to put in for transmission lines.
Requiring them to be buried?
I believe. I have to reread the paragraph. It's been...
Maybe we'll get something knocked out, just a piece. What are your thoughts on expanding Class 3 to a larger size?
And leaving the setbacks the same?
Not even touching the setbacks yet. Just looking at... So we got 0 to 100 kW, kW to 1 megawatt, 1 megawatt to 2 megawatt, which is 7 to 14 acres, is that right? And then two to infinity, Ms. Saxby.
I believe we asked Lisa this question. Lisa said that the PNZ discussed it as the reason Class 4 was set the way it was, is at that point what becomes visually obtrusive. And they said that that was their distinguishing marker to put Class 4 in a different section.
What you're saying, Eric, is that the for class three?
Three, four goes as big as.
You want more?
Well, I'm just throwing it out, see what you guys think. It's just that one is so tight because that's basically 7 to 14 acres. But then the next one, you jump up from round numbers, 14 acres to, what was that one in Lancaster you said, 3,000 acres?
3,200
acres. That would be one jump. I mean, we can't have 100 different classifications, but.
Is it 10 acres of special use for class 3 is 10 acres, then for class 4 it jumps to 20. So you're saying that's a tight, they're just 10 acres.
Minimum.
Yeah, minimum. But for
maybe
class
it doesn't
three,
matter.
For class 3 you're saying that it's just a 10 acre bracket or difference. Is that what you're getting
it
at?
It just seems tight. But maybe that's the big thing's going to be the setback. So maybe that's not something to worry about.
Tight how? I didn't understand that.
It's just so 0 to 100 kW. I assume that's like a house, probably. Class 2, 100 to 1 megawatt. So we're looking at one house up to 7 or 10 acres. When you get to 3, it's only 1 megawatt difference. So you're limiting that to another 7 acres, approximately minimum of 10. But we're told it takes about 7 to 10 acres for 1 megawatt, so we're going to be looking at a 7 to 14 acre site probably.
10 acres is decent size.
Decent size. And it could be bigger than that. That's the minimum amount. Is 10, so it could be up to 20 acres. Well, there's no top size. It could be a 1 megawatt or 1.5 megawatt and sit on a quarter section. So there's no top. It's just how much power they produce. But the number of panels, the increase isn't very much. And then you go to the class four. I had no idea the solar farms got so big, but then that next one is just unlimited.
It takes that many acres to go from one, there's 10 acres, 7 to 10 acres for 1 megawatt is what it takes to have a solar farm to produce that. So that's probably why you exceed 2 megawatts, you're going to need more than 20 acres.
And that's just for the solar panels, right?
And maybe that makes sense to have a different class. I guess it gets the setbacks down a little bit.
Originally, it only had three classifications. The class four was added later to provide for further setbacks.
And class four did increase non-participating property, non-participating dwelling, and then it added the homestead. Churches, I guess I shouldn't say that. It added 3/4 mile. It added another 1/4 mile around the homestead.
So any more than 20 acres will have this, or 2 megawatts.
Anything more than 2 megawatts.
Originally, they didn't even have Class 4 commercial, which is still an option for us to decide. And that was the thing that planning and zoning was a deadlock on. When they voted, was a class 4 commercial. So they were undecided on how to handle that.
Any other ideas on solar today?
The most of them, when they put a solar thing in, they're hooked to the grid. And sometimes they feed back and sometimes they don't. They've got all kinds of options how you get paid back. They buy it from you for 4 cents and then charge you 8 cents or 10 cents or whatever when it comes time to pay their bill. But there's nothing in here, and it doesn't have to be. And I don't remember reading it in the regs when I read it, okay, that somebody would want to go strictly off the grid. And in a case like that, there's nothing in here to talk about that. And I think that we should have something there that would talk about that if somebody wants to, and they have to build a big enough one, even if they're sitting out in the edge of town someplace, that they want to go strictly grid, stay off, or strictly solar, stay off. I think there should be some exceptions to the dimensions. That's what I think, okay? So I just...
That was kind of what I was referring to. I just don't know how to phrase it. Yeah, okay. I got to figure out how to write it. But yes.
And my question is why should there be exceptions? Why do you believe that there should be?
I would throw out that it's not producing just for the sake of producing. It's not just a facility to produce that's set in by someone to make power. It's just part of their infrastructure for their company.
It's a local benefit.
Where if it's
solar is a local benefit.
Is it?
It's tied into the grid.
If it goes on the grid and it goes out of state, is it?
Yeah, I don't like
if
that.
If it goes on the grid, it goes into the Southwest Power Pool and used.
But is that what planning and zoning is for? Isn't this that's the power company's business? So we get into the business of where it goes. Aren't we getting in? We don't get into the business of where the hogs go. So why do we get into the business of where the power goes?
Well, I guess he answered the question: is it a local benefit?
Well, it's a local benefit because it brings economic development. Just like a hog operation, you can consider that economic development, tax revenue. I mean, just looking at it for a different perspective, we're discussing business options of the power company, public power company, and where their power goes. I don't see where that has anything to do with planning and zoning.
Well, I don't think we're saying that.
Well, if you're making a change, whether it's hooked into the power grid or not.
There is a big difference.
And what is it?
If you're hooked into the power grid, you're dependent upon somebody else.
Well, what's that got to do with planning and zoning?
Well, but if you can take a place, a business, a home, a hog operation, whatever, okay, and put it into self reliance on itself, okay. I think that's a piece of what we have to look at. I mean, it's a part of.
I'm trying to understand that. I'm trying to follow it.
Part of a development that says that.
Rule 21. Hold on, Eric. You have to give him permission to leave.
Oh, she's got the rule sheet out.
Pull that out for you.
Hold on. Would you read that rule to us, Ms. Axby?
Rule 21. Board members must have leave of chair to be excused before a motion to adjourn has prevailed.
I can't even see him.
Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Making that up or what?
No, I think she typed that in there. That was in your rules.
All right.
Do you
have anything in my shop that you're working on?
Yeah, 2 seconds. It has to be done right away.
Mr. Shuler, I guess one thing I will say, along with what Dave and Gary are saying, by allowing someone east setbacks for using their own power and using it strictly for themselves, what we're doing is we really are encouraging self-sufficiency and encouraging use of green energy instead of just using the outside energy that's available.
Yeah.
It just basically says instead of hooking on and selling it to somewhere else, if you own the property or if you have a business and you want to be more self-reliant, we're going to lessen those stipulations so that you can be independent and use your own land and use your own power versus setting up just a production facility for that. We're saying, hey, we're going to encourage you to use green energy and make the restrictions a little less on setbacks so that you can provide some of your own and have that self-reliance.
So on the other side of that, are we discouraging
Oh no.
solar for commercial use?
No.
For commercial sale?
Mm-hmm. Nobody says that.
Just a question.
Yeah, nobody says that. People have the right to do whatever they want. I mean, it's a.
I guess it depends on your. If I want to,
if I want to take a section and fill it full of solar panels and sell it back to the power line, power companies, that's my prerogative, okay? But if I want to run a business or start something up, it could be a hog business, and I want to supply all the electric, you know, to run that, okay? I should be able to do that and probably get a little bit of exceptions because of the size and the magnitude of the amount of property it would take to do that, okay? So, I mean, I just think that, you know, if you're looking at a business, they can get pretty close to their property without having to buy an exceeding amount of ground just to accommodate the what we've put in here, okay? So,
and let's say it's an industry using this. You have a huge industry and a field that goes with it. It's not. It's attached.
Yeah.
It's going to be a part of that build.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, based on my research and what I've read, and did you all see the Center of Rural Affairs recommendations or suggestions? The email they sent.
I read it, but I don't typically agree with their recommendations.
I have to work on that.
Well, it's just one source of information,
sure.
And there's others. And I guess that's why I would like also to see John Hay here. He's not with Center of Rural Affairs. He's at the university, which we've always relied on for recommendations. The whole county has farmers, agri industry. We're part of. We even contribute and help with the extension office here in Gage County. And I feel like it's good data. I've seen the data he has, and it's unbiased. His presentations are unbiased.
Well, we've got him lined up, right?
Well, provided
we'll
get permission from consensus here. But, yes.
We've already got
I thought he already told you. Go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
15th.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if everybody agreed, but enough of us did that it's worth listening to him, okay, so.
Well, and probably the discussion just needs to be continued then.
Well, and that's a whole other conversation, Eddie.
Well, that's
my point, actually, is I feel that these setbacks are too far for solar panels.
Emily's been pushing for a shorter setback, I know, for quite a while, but this is where P&Z...
Yeah, I've heard
landed.
Yeah.
There, I did listen to some of those meetings, and actually the people that did speak, because we did have people that actually came to speak, all wanted a few extra regulations in there. Some were farther distances. I believe you were the only one that spoke as your own person that came in that wanted something shorter.
Ms. Axby, what was the argument as a whole from people that wanted a further setback? Was it a visual?
Giving the community the decision on things that will affect them.
Because of sight line on things?
Sight, property value, all that stuff.
Every time we have something different, I mean, we're going to have this discussion.
Here we are.
Whether until it becomes the norm. I'm guessing in Iowa... They don't have the wind turbine discussions as much anymore because they're used to them. Kansas is getting to be that way. And I know I've told some of you guys this. I remember Grandpa telling me about how upset the regular folks were that the people in Beatrice thought they needed a gravel road to Lincoln because they were too good to drive on dirt. And that was a big deal, changing 77 to gravel versus dirt. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. I'm not saying this is either, but each time something comes up until it's normal, if it ever becomes normal, I'm not saying that solar or wind will ever become the norm anywhere, but right now it's not the norm here. Are there any specifics on this you guys would like us to look at or just keep reviewing it as a whole?
I need more time to look it over and actually have time, which I don't foresee a new grant in the next couple weeks, so I can work on it. But we also have a closed session to get to yet before lunch.
A what?
Closed session. Gary has one again.
Okay.
I threw the again on there. I love that word.
The solar rig, you're...
It's not. There's nothing on there to vote for.
It's just discussion.
Were you ready to vote on today, Eddie?
It would be nice to come to closure on it at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I mean, this hasn't been going along as no. What the hog confinement has.
Right.
Is it? That doesn't mean we should drag it out, but, I mean,
right.
We want to make sure that we try and take care of everybody that might be interested in it. Okay,
I'll ask you guys, would you like to see an action item or a potential action item in 2 weeks on solar?
Yes.
Do you want to wait? Yes.
2 weeks?
Do you want to wait until discuss one more time in 2 weeks?
I'm in favor of discussing one more time and then voting.
Yeah, that's true.
I would discuss one more time.
And the 17th, we'll be leaving for a groundbreaking.
Well, that's true, yeah. So we couldn't do it. I mean, we should probably...
Let's shoot for...
Is groundbreaking more important than doing our business?
Sure it is.
Part of doing our business.
To her, yes.
Part of it. But we'll figure on a potential action item on the 31st for solar. Fair?
Good.
Potential action item. All right, with that, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:47 for law enforcement necessary for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. No action will be taken after this?
No, I don't believe there's any action necessary.
You have something before?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to go into closed session, but before that, one thing I do want to say is that I was lucky enough to be here at the beginning of the wind discussion and the first set of regulations that we had there. There were some things that I'm not going to say we did wrong, but you know, to today's standards, it seems like we're probably off a little bit. And I'm going to guess that in the solar regulations, there's a chance that we might. I mean, we're in the initial stages here. There might be some things that we might end up being off a little bit in the end. I think that we have a better knowledge going into this one than we did going into the wind.
Are you wanting to open wind?
What? I cast wind.
Are you wanting to, you wanting to open wind discussion?
Hey.
No, I'm good. But yeah, anytime you want.
That's a really good point. Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Going to closed session at 10:47. Please vote.
I think I was around when the wind was here.
Six in favor. We are in closed session. Thanks, Sheriff. Ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 11:20. Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Please vote. Six in favor. We're out of closed session. Mr. Swavely has one more item for us before we leave. Mr. Swavely has one more item for us. Calling Mr. Swavely.
Now, you have to appoint a...
So we don't run into this.
You said you wanted to do that.
And we learn from every contract.
Three of us.
So, going along with that for next year's negotiations, I'd just like to put a subcommittee for union negotiations for the 23-24 calendar year or anything else that goes on. That'll be headed up by Mr. Lytle, Mr. Swavely, and Ms. Haxby. 24-25. Contract. Hopefully, possibly a multi-year contract. We'll see how negotiations come out. Anything else before we adjourn for the good of the order? You're going to invite Mr. Hay to come talk to us the 15th?
Yep, he's already planning on it.
Like I say, tell him keep it brief if we've got questions. Otherwise, we'll cut him off at about 10 minutes, maybe 15.
The three of us.
Nothing else?
Time this month yet.
If not, we'll adjourn at 11:22.